Okay. Let's hold our hands together and say, Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. He is glorified, we edify, clarity comes to our mind, soundness comes to our mind. Amen. Amen. Matthew 28, quickly. So we're discussing on the topic, the parable of the sower, right? The parable of the sower, Matthew 28. Open your Bible to Matthew 28. All right. Matthew 28, from verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So, we said, Jesus said, Go and make disciples. Go make disciples. So, our investigation from last week was on that word, make disciples, right? That was where we started looking at it from, make disciples. From last week, this is the fifth week, right? Right? This is the fifth week. And it says, go make disciples. Now, that word disciples or make disciples implies to go raise men, to become a scholar. That's what we've been looking at. Jesus said, go raise men to become scholars. From the word, that word make disciples, matitio, is from the word matitis, which implies a one or what you call a disciple, an apprentice, one who is given to learn a specific trade. You know, that is where we have the word disciple. Are you following me? A disciple is one who is given to learn a specific trade. And yesterday we looked at that, right? Hallelujah. So we looked at that in Christianity, that Christianity is not an institution or a gathering of vast knowledge, right? We don't learn, some people say, in my church, I like my church. We used to learn about relationships, we used to learn about how to make our business big. We also learn how to invest in cryptocurrency in church. In church. You know, in my church, we used to organize summer school. In my church, every last Sunday, we call it every last Sunday of September, we do summer school where we learn mass in church. Church. No, that is not church. Are you following me? In my church, we used to have seminars. Singles are married in the church. Where we come, just, you know, it's all about catch them young. You know, in our church, we do catch them young. You know, we are single to mingle, so that we will not fumble in the rumble, you know, in the church. You know, when we talk relationship, we say, you know, it's not good for a man to be alone. In church, you know, in church we organize business seminars. Now have a businessmen club in church. Who is the president of businessmen club? Yeah, let's start having that in the church. In our church, we have a football team. We are playing for NPL, Nigerian Professional League, in your church. That now becomes a discipline in church. So what do you do in church? I am a football player. I'm in charge of the men business fellowship in church. What do you do? We find opportunities in the open market and we tell our members on how to avert risk. And then we look at it from how Jesus started. Oh yeah, we renew it. Tell us that. Hallelujah. No. Glory to God. That is not what church is meant for. Church is not a place of vast knowledge. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Church is a place of specific knowledge. That's why he uses the word disciples. In discipleship, what we learn is specific. Hallelujah. Well, we looked at that yesterday, so you can get the teaching on giving and receiving when it is out, so that you see it. Okay, so, and Jesus tells us how this will be done, right? He says in verse 20, he says, teaching them. That's the word, teaching them. And that word, we say teaching is the word didasco, right? Right? Didasco. I will say didasco means the very act of instructing, the act of talking. Are you hearing me? That is called didasco. Why is that? Why is it? Why is didasco? Is it English word? It's Greek, yo. Why do you look at Greek? Yeah. Bible was written, New Testament section of the Bible was written in Greek. So we look at Greek so that we'll see the import of the word in our day today. Because over the years, language has evolved. Hallelujah. And we most times we'll go back, because the import of such words today might have lost its significance. So we'll go back, look at it, and then we'll do what? We'll translate it in our today's language. Hallelujah. Are you following me? And I always give us an example of the young man that says he knows who Paul's father is. I say Paul's father is the man on the cross. Why? Because Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. Isn't he naughty? He's reading old man in today's language. He's naughty. But when you go back in time, look at the Greek word, you discover what Paul was referring to as old man was his sinful nature, not his dad. But today we hear, who is your old man? Say, my old man is at home. But Paul wasn't using that kind of language today, because language has actually watered down to that. Are you following me? So we go back, look at the import of that word. Like when we say that word, didasco, teaching, you know, when you look at that word teaching, it just means just be teaching anything. No. Hallelujah. You don't have to teach anything. That word didasco, look at the word didasco, it carries the weight of the word didache. Meaning how what is taught is taught. So meaning what is being taught, they say teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. Are you following me? What I have commanded you. So what has he commanded them? We looked at that yesterday, right? What have commanded you. Now he now carries that word teaching them, we carry that. So look at what Jesus did. He tells you to go raise disciples. He didn't just leave you to the blues. No. He now tells you how you can raise disciples. If not, we can go and start raising disciples by rap song. Oh, let's hunt for them. How do they do that thing? Catch them young. So let's have a rap. You know, I'm the dumb just like fool, we're just dumb. People think I'm a boy because I talk like a toy. Oh, this guy has the rhythm. Woo! He won it. Then they will not give you a prize. Let's say you've won it. You won the rap. You are not a Christian. Are you okay? So, hallelujah! Hallelujah! They say, I want to rap. Make a rap. Should I rap? Let me rap. And then better not drop. As about my origin, I'll tell you who I be. I've been watching the game that the devil cannot handle. Woo! Like Chiwundu from the Undus. This guy has no rhythm. He must go to heaven. Oh, give you certificate. Welcome to heaven. You are not well. Hallelujah. If Jesus just said, go and make disciples, people will give us some of nonsense. So, which song will we just sing now? Eh? Which song did we just sing? We sang a song today. Remind me of the song we sang today. Okay, that one is too fast. I need to sing. Okay. You are with me. What can separate us now? You know, yeah, good choreography. Your love, it won't let go. I know it would. I know your love, your plans for me are good. You are my future and my hope. Your promise is never fair. I was doing choreography. And I didn't say, wow, this guy is good.
He's good. Let's catch him young for God. So quickly, just tell person, hey, say after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you. I'm a sinner. Bam, you're born again. She's not getting born again. They stamped it on me. You know, if Jesus had just said, go and make disciples, he would just go and be doing anything, right? But he didn't do that. He said, go make disciples. He's not saying, teaching them. Maybe the one who raised disciples will not be by talent hunt. It will not be by choreography. Are you following me? It will not be by dancing ballet or doing this research that they call yoga or gayo. You know that? It will not be like that. He said, teaching them. So that means there will be a teaching, right? Right? Now, in teaching them, it's not that just teaching them. We can just go and say, come, let me teach you how to make clay pots. I mean, is that not what? Is it not teaching? But Jesus still gave us specifics. He was teaching them what I have commanded you. Did you see that? So what we are going to be taught in church will be specific. So, sir, I can come to church and know what I'll be taught. I hear me. I go to church to know what I'll be taught. What will I be taught? I'll be taught concerning Christ, what he has commanded. Are you following me? Amen. I know what I'll be taught. So if it goes straight for me, I don't get to church and they are not teaching me how to build wealth. Build wealth, what? Okay, if you want to learn how to build wealth, don't stop in BAC. Go for MBA. Go for business seminars. You want to learn crypto? No, not in the church. So you go for crypto classes. Are you hearing me? Stop nonsense. Say, my pastor is good in cryptocurrency. So this Sunday, we're talking at the crypto in the crystal. You are not aware. No! Hallelujah. So a church, the church is a place of specific knowledge. Are you following? So he now says teaching them. So teaching means the very act of teaching. Now I say it will carry in within the weight of the word didache, how scriptures are explained. So we said in Acts 2:42. Are you in Acts 2? Verse 42. Let's look at verse 41. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And in that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls got saved. 42. And they continued. Who are they? The 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That word doctrine is in the Greek didache, the mode of explaining scriptures. Fellowship and the breaking of bread. And in prayers. So this is discipleship. What are they continuing in the apostles' teaching? That's the word doctrine. Doctrine is not how we do things in our church. Doctrine is teaching. Are you following me? They follow the apostles' teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans 16 verse 17. Look at what it says. It says, I urge you, brethren, take note of those who cause division and offenses. Romans 16:17, who caused division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Contrary to the doctrine. That word doctrine is not in my church. Our doctrine is we tie her tie, we don't tie. That is nonsense. That is what? Nonsense. That is not called doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. The word doctrine in the Greek is the word didache. It means teaching, explaining. Now it's a mark them who teach you wrongly. Who teach you things that are contrary to what you have been taught. Hallelujah. That is the word didache, teaching. The how of how what is taught is taught. You understand me? So meaning in discipleship, what you learn is how scripture is explained. You learn how is scripture explained. Hallelujah. And last week Saturday, I guess, when we were discussing about giving and receiving, we mentioned how do false doctrine come out. How does false doctrine emerge? How does false teaching emerge? Like false doctrine, false prophet, all this nonsense. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So we said, one of the things we learn in discipleship is how scripture is explained. That's what we just said. Hallelujah. So how is scripture explained? One, John 5:39. How is scripture explained? John 5:39. Are you following? John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. He said, you search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. He was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the scribes. The Pharisees are those who taught the Bible in those days. And he said, you search the Bible. You search the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. But he said, these are they, which is what the scriptures testify of me. 40. What did he say? But you, are you following me? Look at verse 40. But you were not willing to come to me that you may have life. Did you see that? Now Jesus said they did not come to the conclusion of scriptures concerning him. 45. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. We did a study on this yesterday. Before the Father, there's one who accuses you. He said, Moses, in whom you trust. Say, but if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote concerning me. So meaning, if I get to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what was Moses writing concerning? He said he wrote concerning me. Meaning the conclusion, the summation of what he was writing about was concerning me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So we can say scriptures are explained, or the conclusion of scriptures is on Christ. The conclusion of what they wrote on was concerning Christ. So when you read Genesis to Malachi, you discover that what they wrote together will be concerning a person, concerning a man in Christ, which is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember I told us that it doesn't mean that every verse is Christ. No. Are you hearing every line? No. But in the midst of what they said, they were talking, you will find words concerning Christ in what they said. Hallelujah. Are you following me? We'll get to do that study as we look at revelation of Christ, the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Secondly, we say scriptures are explained from the beginning. From the beginning, which is from Moses. You cannot explain. We're looking at how is Bible explained. Bible is explained from Genesis. I love how Igbo will call Genesis. We call it Genesis, which is start from the beginning. Hallelujah. He don't just come and quote any nonsense. Say, you know, the Bible says, all things are mine. All things are mine. What is the memory verse of today? The memory verse of today is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm working. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So then, you know, as you're saying it, you don't think you're getting rema. No, that Satan is already ministering to you. I can do all things. You know, you can just see that guy's bicycle. All things are yours. And I just bounce it. No! Every explanation will start from where? Genesis. Luke 24:25. Open your scriptures. Luke 24:25. Jesus got to his disciples and said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that spoke." They say, "Of not the Christ to suffer this sinner and to enter into his glory." We'll look at that during CRC. Suffering and entering into his glory. Now he says, "What are you going to suffer and enter into his glory?" He says, "Beginning at Moses." Where did Jesus start his teaching from? Moses. And all the prophets. Verses 44. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. And all things must be fulfilled or should be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Where did Jesus start teaching from? Moses. So I must read scripture from Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said, in doing that, that is a skill called what? Anagenoscope. Right? To read in details. Ensure that figures are read as figures, not literal. You don't read figures as literal. Right? You don't get to the scripture and read figures as literal. You say, I know who God is. Who is God? God. I know who Jesus is. If you get to heaven, you just see a sheep. Jesus is a lamb. He's a lamb. Jesus is a lamb. Satan is a snake. So if you see snake, you just do, I bind you, snake. How do we do that to a snake? Ah. You see snake. Some people see cats. Ah, I don't know the
the spiritual implication of cat. You see cat. Oh, yes, I am. God of Elijah, send down fire on cat. Maybe at night, when the cat has turned on his night vision, you know, cats have what they call night vision. That's when you see the eyes turn. It's called night vision. Let me educate you. But you don't see cats right at all. The same thing too, the cat family, they have that. Lions, tigers, you know, they have that. It's called night vision. It enables them to see at night. It's not Satan that is not showing through the eyes, because the eye will not become shiny. It's night vision. They've turned on night vision. So when there's no light, they see as clearly as though there was light. Are you following me? So you have phones, so you have recently you have dark this way, right? Eh? Is it dark mode? Light mode and dark mode. When it's 7 p.m., it turns on its own to dark mode, right? It adapts. Now, let me not go into that, so thank you. Because that dark mode will enable it to conserve, because during the daytime, the phone works times two. Oh, so you guys wouldn't know. Under the sun, so the phone works times two. So you have automatic whatever. When you're under sun, the phone becomes extra bright. It gets hot. But at night, everything is down. Your battery is more conserved. Right? Okay. Now, that is how the phone was structured to operate. The same way two cats. You cannot see cats in the night. I am shouting. Oh, number two. There's, you know, as sleepy, you know, hearing like a baby's voice crying. They have come wherever they are gathered. Yeah. Oh, shall we have some again? Holy Ghost, I upon them all. Wherever Satan has gathered. Holy.
Then our hearts will need to cry.
Amen. Amen. Don't see cat in the night that you are precious. Who has bewitched that cat? You are in the God. But I hope you are learning. So, you read figure of speech as figure of speech. Hallelujah. Don't read it literally. Only talk. Don't. Hallelujah. Figures of speech are used to point to the real thing. So, what is it pointing to? Hallelujah. When he calls Jesus the Lamb on the throne, you have to know what it is used to explain, to talk about. Hallelujah. Are you following me? When you hear the Lamb, your mind goes to Moses. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Do you understand me? It goes to Moses. And the Lamb is always killed for sin. Right? It's used for sin sacrifice. So when you hear the Lamb on the throne, it tells you about the forgiveness of sins that we have received. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Are you following that? So you read figures of speech as figures of speech. Do you understand me? Amen. I'm looking at me, you're not like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we began to look at parables, right? How do we read parables? We say parables point. Parables are not the message, right? Hallelujah. Parable is not the message. John, Matthew 13, verse 10 into 16. Matthew 13:10-16. Let's see this. Matthew 13, from verse 10. Look at what Jesus said in verse 10. I mean, the disciples asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So Jesus, we said this last week, Jesus helped us see that he had two audiences, right? The multitudes, those who, and his disciples. His disciples given for them to know the multitudes, is not given. Why? Right? Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. That is unbelief. Are you following me? It's what? Unbelief. So Jesus is saying the reason for parables is unbelief. Are you following me? Is what? Unbelief. And remember, we said When Jesus says parables, that is the word parabole in the Greek. Parabole, from the compound of para and balo. Para means what is placed alongside. Para means beside, along. Balo means to throw. So, parabole or parabole means to throw alongside. So that means parables are cast alongside. Are you following me? Parables are cast alongside a teaching. Parables are not the teaching, but they point to the teaching. They are thrown with the teaching. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So you don't read a parable as literal. I gave us an example. Imagine I'm talking to you about something and I say, see, a toad does not, that's the popular Nigerian proverb. A toad does not run in the daytime for nothing. Is either it is chasing something or something is chasing it. Right? You now ask me, now you now got offended. Now say, who are you calling a toad? Is it me that is a toad? You know that person has bronchitis or the person is suffering from. Do you understand me? Why? Because you are reading that proverb, you are taking that proverb literal, right? That is a proverb. It means that, hey, nothing happens without a cause, right? For every cause, or for every action, there is a, stop all this nonsense, I believe. Well, is that what this is? Eh? They want to shame us. Okay, for every credit entry, there is always a debit entry. Abi? Yeah. We cannot carry last in this game. Anyway. Okay, those that ask class, what will you do now? The parents have defended their position. Commercial have defended, ask single. For every human right that is. There's a politician. Thank you, God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway. So you can't take a parable literal. In fact, from where I come from, which is the Zion of Igbo land, where I come from, we will now tell you that if I give you a proverb and I tell you the meaning, in this world, you let people put it the hardest way. If I give you a proverb and you cannot interpret, it means you are not your father's child. Hallelujah. Amen. Even if you don't, you just like you can be your father's child. Hallelujah. So, what I'm trying to say in essence is that you don't take proverbs literally. You say, well, proverbs are also called parables. Are you hearing me? So, you don't read parables like you are taking it literal. Hallelujah. So, how was I with parables? Why did Jesus use parables? Because of unbelief. So that means if I go to the Old Testament and I see parables, it's because of unbelief. Did you see that? It's because of unbelief. So is the parables to now suffer them? No! The parable is to come to their level. Hallelujah. Parable is to bring the news what they are familiar with. Hallelujah. So now explain it to them. Amen. Amen. So just like somebody asking you. You now want to talk about the fact that something you cannot explain. You just say the person, you know, even like the coconut water becomes mysterious to the coconut eater or the coconut planter. So is this mysterious? No, it's just used to do what? To do what? To explain something. Hallelujah. You know a lot of parables. Well, I don't know what you mean by that. I know the word. Amen. Glory to God. So parable is to come to their level. Parable is never the teaching. Parables are what? Parables is never the teaching. It's never the message. But they are used to point to the teaching. Parable is not the discussion. I cannot come to me and be telling you a toad does not run a daytime for nothing. There is something we are discussing. There's something that is happening that is making me say that. Right? So, a parable is not a discussion, but it's cast alongside the discussion to further explain the discussion. Hallelujah. Okay, now something to now take note of. Parables most times can be faulted. You see why you can't even take it literally? Parables can be faulted. But the toad does not run in the daytime. But sometimes you say something, it's chasing, or it's chasing something. There are sometimes that toad will just be walking in the daytime and nothing is chasing it. And neither is it chasing anything. Can you now see? So parables can be faulted. So that is why you must look at what is being discussed with it. You have to look at what is this thing pointing to. Amen. Are you following what I'm teaching you? Have to look at what is this parable pointing to. So no parable is 100% perfect or correct. In fact, the parables of Jesus can be faulted today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Bibles can be faulted. Jesus' Bible can be faulted. In our world today, when Jesus spoke about one of the seeds fell on what? On what? On a, okay, let me say, on a stony, on the rock. What came to pick it? Dead came to pick it. Ali? Moses, what if there was no bird that came to pick it? Can you see? In fact, our today world, there are some soils, you know, there is a good soil, there are some soils that are not good. But today, you know, you have some soils, in fact, you have soils that are not good that will now produce fruits today. I hope you know that. Just add fertilizer to grow. But if you begin to now look at the chemistry of that soil, you are not taking it beyond what Jesus was talking about. Ah, what is jumping out, what is bapping out, you know. You have missed it. So, in parables, I must restrict myself. Are you following me? So, what is this person explaining? Are you hearing me? I must restrict myself to that. Don't call, why did this person use seed? Why he doesn't use soil? Why? And what is he pointing to? That is the end. Don't go to anything again. If you begin to point to other things, you have missed it. You are unintelligent. Are you hearing me? I know unbelief can make people unintelligent. So don't get to that point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we began to look at it. We can look at the word seed. And remember we said all scriptures must be read from Genesis, right? So why did Jesus use seed? So we began to look at seed from Moses, from Genesis. Genesis. And we said that word seed is the Hebrew word zerah. Genesis chapter 1 verse 11. Zerah. Zerah. It's used for a person. It's used for a person. Hallelujah. It's used for a person. One's offspring. Offspring. A person was offspring. It's used for a person. An offspring. A son. The word is used for a son, not S-U-N, S-O-N, a son, a child, offspring, a son. It's also used for a nation. We saw that too in Genesis, right? Hallelujah. So that was how we started. That is how it's used. Something again we said is that the seed will be how God's plan will come to pass. We started saying that from the beginning of the year. How God's plan for the year to come to pass. What's God's plan? Heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. So God's plan of the heaven and the earth will happen with the seed. And that shows us. Now when he uses that word seed in verse 11, he now gets to verse 26. Now tells you how it will be, how heaven and earth will be. He said, let us make man in our image. So what will become the image, the Salem of God? The image of God. We say it is Christ, right? So let's make man in our image. So that image will be the seed. Are you following me? the image will not be the seed. So look at how God, look at how Moses now writes the seed. He writes the seed as an image. Let's make man in our image. Now, we further went to answer that question, right? So you say the image will be the seed. So we now said, was Adam made in that image? Well, question that we've answered and yet answer again. Was Adam made in that image? Fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Was Adam made in the image? So that word image is used for the seed. We now find him say, we now find Moses used seed again in chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15. He spoke about the seed again. Hallelujah. So in chapter 1, verse 27, let's make find an image will be how heaven and earth will happen. Right? The seed, the image, chapter 3, verse 15. Are you following me? That is what you need to write. Genesis 3:15. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. We've done this study. We have to do it again. And this time much deeper. I put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. For she shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. He talks about the seed of the woman. How will God's plan come to pass? The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent and bruise the heel. Hallelujah. So we'll look at this in Revelation of God. I mean, yeah, understanding the gospel rather. I rather put it there. Now, understanding the gospel, we'll get to see that. What does it mean by he will bruise the heel? He will bruise the head. You know, sometimes we think the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Then the serpent will not bruise his heel. No. He will bruise the head and bruise the heel. Is the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent and the heel. Hallelujah. We'll look at that story. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, we see it again in Genesis 3:15, right? Right? So the seed will be the seed of the woman. So, when Moses writes like this, he now quickly gets to Adam. Okay, you remember, when he says the seed of the woman, let's quickly look at something. When he says the seed of the woman, when Eve heard it, she thought it would be her offspring, so she thought it was Abel. Right? But lo and behold, Cain killed Abel. She now turned and said, Seth. She said, for I have gotten another seed of the Lord. Thinking that was the end, Seth now gave birth. Did you see? Seth now gave birth to a child called Enos and said, Mobile. Death reigns. He now named the child Enos. Meaning, that was not the seed. Hallelujah. That was not the seed. So, Moses writes that for you to see what he was trying to call the seed. And right now you know that the seed is not, though it is the seed of the woman, but it's not going to be man's effort. Are you following? The seed is not going to be man's effort. It's not going to be, you cannot calculate it with your brain. No. So it shows you that it is spiritual seed, not, you understand, it's a spiritual seed he's talking about. How to follow that? Then immediately he now writes about Abraham. He talks about Abraham. Now remember, what is Moses doing? I need to understand. Moses is not writing a story, he's not writing history. I want you to get this. Remember, I taught us this. I said, when you read scripture, you must know what is the background. See. As we are like this, I'm taking my time to teach us so that we'll be grounded. We're not joking here. You're taking it seriously. I want to appreciate you. Take it seriously. I'm giving you all. All that I know. Hallelujah. So take it seriously. Amen. You're too focused. Don't. Okay. Let's continue. Where was I? How did I get it? Cain. What was I saying? Okay, yeah. The seed is not going to be man's effort. It's spiritual. I follow you. So, he now turned to write about Abraham.
Now, listen to what I will tell you. And that's why I actually have to differ. See, how you read your Bible is important. See, Bible. I want that everybody I teach the word will know the word. You not just know preference or know things on the subject. No, you will know it though. Maybe you don't want to know it, you will know it by force. For the years to come. Female. Now see, Moses is not writing story. Genesis 1:1 is not story. What is the reason for Genesis? The reason for Genesis is what Exodus. We'll get to see that shortly. He is an Exodus. So Moses is writing to a set of people. Do you understand? Eh? And what is he writing to them? He is writing to them the message. So Genesis is a message. So the background of Genesis is Exodus. There is a set of people that is leaving or that have left Egypt. Are you hearing? So he's writing to those guys. Amen. Amen. So he's writing to them. That is his teaching note. This is Moses' teaching note. So what is Moses' teaching note in Exodus? Genesis. Are you following me? So when I get to Genesis like this, what will be the background of Genesis? I mean, will be the Exodus. When I get to Exodus and I look, what will be at the background of Exodus? There is a message, right? So I must read those two books together, Genesis and Exodus. Are you following me? That is how you read. Don't jump and do mini more to buy. It's lazy Christians. If I is unbelievers, if I is it is demonic to do your Bible like this. It's demonic. Don't try it. Hallelujah. So people that have phone, open Bible on phone and search. Just search. Put it here with it. You're not serious. You read everything. You see. See, I use one Bible, but you know, when I want to do study, I cannot use my phone Bible. Phone what? Is it this paper? Ah! You know, it's sweet. Hallelujah! You must read it. Phone Bible. You're on phone Bible. WhatsApp enter, you quickly do WhatsApp. Telegram enter, you're nowhere. At all, you're nowhere. Hallelujah! So you must be serious! See, Christianity, Bible studies for serious Christians. Serious! If you're not studying your Bible, you're not a serious Christian. You're a serious Christian. But that I mean, give you the baptismal name of unbelievers. Hallelujah! So you must know how to read your Bible. So in Genesis, why is Genesis written? It's not storytelling. God made the moon and made the stars, made them all. You think they are still candle lighters? Okay, I need candle for lighters. They are studying well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was not the reason for it. So Moses is writing a message. You think Moses has no job, he's writing Abraham. Abraham is a character that existed in the earth. But Moses now uses this to write salvation message. You must note it. You must know it. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So he now writes Moses. I mean, now writes Abraham for you. Now shows that Abraham has two sons. You see, Abraham has two sons. Who are the sons? Ishmael. And who? And who? Isaac. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, boy, you know, Ishmael came before Isaac. Hope you know that. Ishmael came before Isaac. But what was the promise to Abraham? I will give the land to your seed. You see that? What is mentioned again? Seed. 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 Zerah. So, Moses is writing seed for Genesis 1. There's now the seed of the woman who is not Cain nor Abel nor Seth nor Enos. He now comes to Abraham and talks about seed. But he gets to Noah first, talks about seed. Gets to Abraham, talks about seed. And now he now shows Abraham has two sons. You understand? And he's not Ishmael. It's not like Ishmael and Isaac. To make you see that Ishmael was came as a result of what? Sarah and who? Abraham, who is Hagar, trying to help Abraham achieve God's plan. Right? And Ishmael came. But God said, it's not Ishmael. Meaning, the seed will not come by the will of man. It will not come by the flesh. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the seed will not come through the works of the flesh, rather. But it now says, in Isaac shall thy seed be named. Did you see that? In Isaac. So that means, listen, that means Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, will now talk about Isaac. Why Isaac? Because Isaac is the chosen one. Isaac was chosen. Why was he chosen? Because he believed. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Because he believed. Yet, you know, it now looks as if Isaac is the seed. But yet, in Isaac, we saw that last week, there is still a promise of God's seed. So that means, listen, I'm going to say something that you need to follow. Listen. So in Isaac, there is still the promise of God's seed. To make you see that Isaac was just used as a figure. Hallelujah. Isaac was used as a figure to write about God's plan of redemption. Are you following me? Used to write about God's plan of redemption. Isaac was used as a figure. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Genesis 22, let's see something. Still on Isaac. Genesis 22. Are you following me? Are you learning something? I want to see something. Verses 1. Now it came to pass after this thing that God tested Abraham. We've done that study. It's not actually a test. And said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of what? And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain which I shall tell you. Did you see that? It says, he calls Isaac his only son. What was Isaac Abraham's only son? No. Are you following me? It's how did you see what Moses is writing about? Is Isaac Abraham's only son? No. But he calls only son. So Moses writes it there for you to see that Isaac is used as a figure. Because Isaac is not Abraham's only son. In fact, that word only son is where we will now have in John 1:14. Quickly go ahead and rush down to John 1:14. John 1:14, John 1:18, and like that. Will not be used for as a title for Jesus in the incarnation. Look at that. John 1:14. Look at it. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Did you see that? It's used again. Only begotten of the Father. Just like saying, only Son of the Father. It's used for Jesus. Verse 18. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. Holding the bosom of the Father, he has declared it. Did you see that? So, Moses employed the... I want you to follow me. Are you following me? Moses employed a description for Jesus, and he uses it for Isaac to show you that Isaac is a figure. Are you following that? Are you following me? Because Isaac is not the only child. In fact, after Sarah died, Abraham married Keturah, and Abraham had other sons, not just two. But he now called Isaac the only son. Why? Because in Isaac shall thy seed be named. Are you following me? Eh? Are you following me? So that will not be the seed of the woman, not the seeds of the woman, the seed of the woman. Amen. Amen. Am I too fast? Are you following me? Am I too fast? Okay. I will not ask some other people if I'm too fast. Because they know I'm very slow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see something. One more thing. So that means, now let's see how the writer of Hebrews now puts it. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verses 17. Look at how the writer of Hebrews puts it. He said, "For by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac shall your seed be called.'" Are you following me? "In Isaac shall your seed be called." The next thing. Concluding that he was able to raise him up from the dead. And they concluded that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Now look at verse 19. "From whom also he received in a figurative sense." Who did he receive in a figurative sense? Isaac, right? Right? How did you see this? Now, when he uses that word figurative sense, is the word parabole in the Greek. Parabole, that is a parable. That means Isaac was used as a parable. Isaac was used as a figure. Are you following that? Isaac was used as a figure. Amen. Amen. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So Isaac was a figure. To point to who? To the seed. Amen. Amen. Look at Genesis 22. That's in Genesis 22. Are you following what I'm teaching you today? I thought we might get to Jacob and Esau, so you see some other things there. But let's see. We are still on Isaac. 22, right? Verse 17. Okay, verse 16. After that, he said, "But I have sworn by myself, because you have done this thing, I know we told your son, your only son." He uses that word again, only son. Description for Christ, right? Right? "Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your seed." Take note of that. "Your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sun which is on the seashore. And your descendant, which is your seed, shall possess the fruit of your enemies." Now he said blessing. That word blessing is the word barak in Hebrew. Barak. Barak. Not Barack Obama, but barak. It implies to speak well of. To speak well of. And it's used for what one would do for another. To speak well of what one would do for another. So when it says, "Indeed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," what does it mean? It implies all the nations of the earth will be found in the seed. All the nations of the earth will be found in the seed. So this shows that God's plan for the nations of the earth will be carried out through the seed, will be found in the seed. God's plan for the nations of the earth will be in the seed. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Would that now be the image? That is the image. Amen. Are you following that? So, a bit like an expansion from where we start in following God's plan, right? Right? I shouldn't have told you this. So you won't be looking and gazing. Amen. So, what are we seeing here? We are seeing the seed explained. So, who is Moses explaining to? Who is he explaining to? The children of Israel. Hallelujah. In their age and in their world. Hallelujah. Do they know the story of Abraham? Yes. Hallelujah. So Moses is telling them, he's teaching them what they had as an oral tradition. He's teaching them the oracles of God. Hallelujah. Then Isaac now had two sons. A bit off my note, but let me see. Isaac now had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And there was a birthright. So who called the birthright? Look at how Moses writes. Somebody's supposed to have the birthright. Who is supposed to have the birthright? The first child has the birthright. Right? Right? Yeah. Moses now writes that birthright. Moses now changes the narrative for us. Hallelujah. Now Esau came. Now the right of the firstborn. That's what it means, the right of the firstborn. But you know, Moses now writes it for us. That Esau despised the birthright. They have it as an oral tradition, but now Moses is explaining it. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Amen.
Okay. Still on track. Glory to God. So now write it like that. There's the first one. So what did Esau say? Esau despised the firstborn, right? He says, what is firstborn? Take it or give me for a what? For a, okay, Nigeria, for porridge yam. For pottage, not yam, not porridge yam. For pottage, it's food. Hallelujah. I don't know how porridge yam entered into it. Even if it's that, it's surprise. What did Esau sell his birthright for porridge yam? You see, you that like porridge yam, you sell your birthright. Say that to Pastor Wisdom always, yeah? Amen. Most times, if my wife calls me and tells me, hey, I want to prepare porridge now, I just like, ah. I just feel weak, you know what I mean? What comes to my mind is, ah, I want to say better. So most times I ask myself, how did I get to this point? I enjoy porridge now, but most of the time I just, ah. That's what just caught my head. You see, those things that I was 40 years back, it still replaced it today. Yeah, and it's all. This is what Esau ate. Amen. So I'll just be wording it up. No, it's not for Israel. It's not for him. And then he's just. Hallelujah. So say that to Master Wisdom. That he too doesn't sell his birthright. Now to who? I don't know. Glory to God. Maybe to the person that bought it. So, but actually, was not actually bought it, but for food. He sold it. Now, why did Moses now write it? So, the birthright now becomes, okay, for this class, it now becomes, Moses now write that as a, now write birthright for you to now see about the promise. Right? So, the birthright, when you read birthright, your mind will now go back again to where? Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. That's right. Genesis 3. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Something to be eaten. Something to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he writes that and writes the earth. So something was eaten. Which is what? Porridge. I now say porridge again. Okay. But there's the best right. So, the birthright will mean, let me just give you this rundown. A birthright, what it implies is the rights of more or less to take like an oath of office, just like a will. For example, my father owns an estate. As the first son, the estate becomes mine. That is the right of the firstborn son. If my father is to will out his properties, and we have four children, you will share it into five. Listen, you share it into five. So the first one will carry double. Don't know what that means. Double of everybody will take one, the first child will take two. That is the right of the firstborn. Do you know what that means? It's the right to stand in the stead of the father. Are you following me? So who is the father? Who is Jacob and Esau's father? Who? Isaac. Right? Who is Isaac? Abraham's son. Thank you. You actually? You are a student?
Okay, we know by the way the answer. Abraham's son, history. They know history, whatever. Abraham's son. So Abraham, look at Abraham. Who is Abraham? Genesis 21, Abraham is a prophet. In Genesis 21, 7, Abraham is a prophet. So that means when Isaac believed, Isaac being the son, the only son of his father, is that firstborn right. I believe the only son. So what is the firstborn right? That means Isaac is the one that will take the stead of his father. As a who? As a prophet. Sorry, sir. Are you following me? Are you following that? So when when Esau now rejected that firstborn, what has he rejected? That office. That blessedness. Are you following me? And who had it? Jacob. So Moses now writes that narrative. This is where I'm going to. For you to see that it's not the first but the second. And when you say not the first but the second, remember I've shown you who is Esau, a profane person. That is how the writer of Hebrew will call him, a profane person. Now, how to follow this carefully? Now, no profane person can inherit what? No profane person, meaning one who speaks ill about what God has done or what God has done in our day. Hallelujah. No one who speaks profane inherits the kingdom. Something like that. Are you hearing me? Profane speaking. I want you to follow me closely. So, in Isaac, how do I call him Isaac? In Jacob. So, Jacob will not be that one. The second born will not have the right of the what? Firstborn. What is that showing you? The law will come before the seed. Are you following me? We saw that in Ishmael and Isaac. The law came before. But who came first? What came first? The promise, right? So before the promise came to fulfillment, there was the law. There is the working in the flesh, right? Right? And what is the working in the flesh? Unbelief towards the promise, right? The working in the flesh is unbelief towards the promise. And we saw that in Ishmael, right? And we saw that in Esau. Right? But yet, there is the seed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means before the seed will come, there will be unbelief. There will be unbelief amongst men towards the seed. And we will see it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right? I said that is an avion. In Exodus chapter 3, let's see Moses. Exodus 3. Hallelujah. So in Exodus 3. So remember we said we'll read Genesis and Exodus together, right? Exodus 3. Are you there? It's a long reading from verse 1. And Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. Take note of that, priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared in a flames of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4, and the Lord saw that Moses turned to look. God called from the midst of the bush. And I said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near. You know that. Verse 5, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, rather, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8. Look at verse 8 clearly. Say, I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land,
to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the plains of the Kenite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite.
There's a land again. Now Moses now writes about a land.
I want you to listen to the message of the promised land. Hallelujah. This week. Hallelujah. This is the message of the promised land. So now, where do we have this land spoken of before now?
Abraham.
Right? Right?
The land. The seed.
So there is the seed and there is the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the seed will be found in the land. His seed will be found in the land. We'll get to see all that, right? And we'll use, then he uses it for a nation, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. Now he said, come on, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11. But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 12. So he said, I certainly will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the children of the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Take note of verse 11. He says, I will bring the children to bring the children of Israel, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that will be what he was sent to do. Take note that will be his assignment. And what was he going to do? Look at it very well. He will go to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will go to Pharaoh. And he will bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now let's look at this. Remember, Moses will use the sea for the children of Israel, right? Right? Genesis 46, 1 to 7. I guess we looked at this. Except you didn't read your notes. I ask you to go with it. Hallelujah. So he uses it for the children of Israel as in a figure. Right? In a figure. So you read Genesis, I'm just showing you again, Genesis 46, 6 to 7. The children of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Israel is Jacob. Hallelujah. So it, I will say it, he will use it as a figure to teach them concerning the seed in the redemption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said he will use, there will be a figure to teach concerning the seed in the redemption. And Israel, being called the seed, is not to show a supremacy of the nation called Israel. No. It's just to show, you know, some people say Israel is God. No. It's this as a figure.
Hallelujah.
As a figure to show that in Israel, or Israel will give humanity to the seed of God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Israel will give humanity to the seed of God. So, are you following me? So, there's no unique thing of that concerning that nation. Only that what? It will give what? He will give humanity to God's seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't get into useless talk. Like any nation that goes to Israel, that fights Israel, will be grounded. Israel that they took to Babylon. Did you not read it? The guy carried all of them to Babylon and asked them to sing their redemption song by the rivers of Babylon. Well, we thought that was not a song for Christmas. By the rivers of Babylon. Hallelujah. Yeah, we sat down. Hallelujah. They won them all. So, relax. Israel. Glory to God. So, quickly, they have to give birth to God. See? Also, in chapter 4, we are coming back to chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 22 into 23, Israel is called. Look at how we read. He says, say to, let my son go, that he may serve me. For if you refuse to let him go indeed, I will kill your sons, your firstborn. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Hallelujah. What did I just say? I just read verse 23, sorry, 22. And he shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Do you see that? Israel is my son, my firstborn. Is used a figure. My firstborn. That's figurative. Are you following me? Figurative. Hallelujah. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Figuratively used. In chapter 3, where we were, verse 14. Okay, we were in verse 10 first, right? 11. But Moses said, God, who am I? We read that, 12. And he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you, right? We read that, right? Look at verse 14. And he said to Moses, I am who I am, or I am that I am. What did Moses ask, verse 13? And Moses said to God, indeed, when I called the children of Israel, I said to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they said to me, what is his name? What shall I say? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Now, Moses in verse 14, when he says, I am that I am, is the Hebrew word, Heya Amah Heya. Or Haya Amah Haya. H-A-Y-A-H. Haya Amah Haya. Now, it is that word. That word is a proper name. I am is a proper name that carries with it an action. A proper name that carries with it an action. That name implies I am, I was, and I will become. I will become a man. That's what it means. I will become. I am who I am. That is, I am, I was, and I will become. Remember, I have told him, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And I say, I am, I was, and I will become. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it carries the weight of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. I follow it. It carries the promise. So in that name is the promise, in that name is the fulfillment. Hallelujah. So what it implies is that the message Moses will preach is that God will become a man. The Hayah. Are you following? The Hayah. God is the Hayah. He will become a man. I am. He is the I am. So Moses' message to Pharaoh and the children of Israel is that God will become a man. Did you see that? God will become a man. And in doing so, he will rescue man. Are you following me? God will become a man, and in doing so, he will rescue man. Therefore, the children of Israel will be a sign of what God will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The children of Israel will be that sign that God will rescue man. Are you following that? Are you following that? So that was the message. That's the message of Genesis. Let me read what I have in my notes. Therefore, the children of Israel will be a sign that as they leave Egypt for the land, so there will be a movement from darkness to light, the world to God. Are you following me? There will be that movement. You will see that movement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, are you following me? Hope you have not lost you. Are you following me? Because you're not right. Eh? Are you following me? Eh? You're lost. Please, let me find you. I will leave the 99 and go for you. Okay. Where did you get me?
Okay, I am
that.
Let me come.
We are still in the I am. Are you lost? Now, when you hear I am that I am, it means the word Haya Amah Haya. It means I am, I was, and I will be. Do you understand? That's the meaning of that word. It means I was, or I am, I was, the promise, right? Right? I will be,
I will fulfill the promise. That is, I will become a man. That is the incarnation. Are you hearing me? So, now when Moses now gets to Pharaoh, you know God is saying, go down, shall get to Pharaoh, go down, go down, go down to Egypt, and tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Is this Moses, tell Pharaoh, who to let my people go? So Moses now gets to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. No, he went here with a message. What is the message? I am has sent you. The Hayah has sent you. So, what will he be teaching? He will be teaching them Genesis, the oracles of God. That's what he will be teaching Pharaoh also. He will be teaching. So, that message, will he carry the seed? Will it be the seed? That is the message of the seed. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, when he gets to Egypt, he lands in Egypt, he will be teaching the message of the seed, the message of the oracles of God. He will be teaching the Genesis. Before it was written. Are you following me? He'll be teaching the Genesis. Amen. I know he'll be teaching the Genesis. Glory to God. And what will now happen? So in that teaching, there will be a going out. Right? He will not, while he teach, he will not teach about what? There will be salvation, right? And it's talking about that salvation from the world to God, right? 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 They'll be counted for his people. So a sign of it is that the children of Israel will have to leave Egypt. Are you following me? So that is the message. So that will not be the sign of it. So as the children of Egypt, Israel leaves Egypt, it will show that God will lead us out. Hallelujah. That is the message. So the seed becomes the message in the mouth of Moses and all the prophets. It is a message. It becomes a message. So the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 1 to 2. So when it says, God who at sundry times and in various manners spoke in time past to the fathers through the prophets, as in this last day spoken to us in his Son. Right? 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 So the message of the prophets will be the message of God's seed. Hallelujah. 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 God's seed. And has in this last day spoken to us by his Son. Can we say by his seed? Right? Can we say God has spoken to us through by his seed, whom he has appointed heir of all things, all the words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the message will be the message of God's seed. Message of God's firstborn son. God's model. That will be the message. God's firstborn. God's firstborn son. Hallelujah. So all hair of all things will imply the conclusion of all what the prophet has spoken was on the seed. The son. Therefore we can say the son. Or we can say the seed is the son. And he is the message in the lips of the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is the message in the lips of the prophets. In Galatians 3 verse 16. I wish we round up this today. Galatians 3 verse 16. Are you there? Verse 16. He said, and Abraham, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Did you see that? So who is the seed? Christ. So the seed is Christ. So what was in the lips of the prophet? The message concerning Christ. Hallelujah. In John 1 to 10. He said there was a man sent from God. Whose name was John? He said the same came to bear witness of the light, right? The same came to bear witness of the light that all through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Say he is not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. Glory to God.
So we can say the seed is the word that the prophet bore witness of. Hallelujah. They bore witness of it. Hallelujah. They bore witness of that seed. They bore witness of it. And he calls, and John calls it the light. The light. Let's see Jesus himself. Jesus calls himself the I am. I am. In John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way. John 14 says, I am proper name, Egoemi. E-G-O-E-I-M-I. Egoemi in the Greek. I am that I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say, I am. So, that name, that word, I am. Remember, we say it's a proper name. Hallelujah. I am. So, anytime Jesus uses the word, I am, he makes reference to the Exodus. He makes reference to the Exodus to show that he is the I am of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you following me? When Jesus says, I am, it's not a tense. It is who he is. Hallelujah. It's a proper name. So when he says, I am, you remember there was a time he said to them, before Abraham was, I am. You know they got angry. Say, how old are you? You know what he said? He said, before Abraham was, I am. So, what is God's told to show that he is the God of Abraham? That's what he said. I am. So, how old is this guy? I say he is the I am. So, the Jews recognize the name I am for God. It's used for God. That's the reason why they get angry at him. But this is what I am. That what I am is a name for God that carries in it the personality, the accomplishment of God. Hallelujah. I am. Carries with it the explanation of God. He made a promise and he fulfills it. I am. Are you following me? So Jesus comes and says, I am, to show that I am, or to show that, see, in the Exodus, this is the I am of the scriptures here. That is, this is the fulfillment, this is the incarnation. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Showing that he is the I am of Abraham. And the I am will be found in the message in the lips of the prophet. So he says, when he says, I am, means I am the one the prophet bore witness of. The I am has come. Are you following me? The I am. In conclusion, as we begin to go, as we close today, when you read Mark 4:14, in conclusion, so meaning the I am. Who is the I am? Is it the seed? Like the I am? That is the seed. The seed is the I am. Glory to God. The seed is the incarnate one. Right? Right? The seed is the Son. The seed is Christ. So in conclusion, when I now go to Mark 14, the same rendering, the same account of Matthew 13, Mark 4, look at what Jesus says, calls the seed. Verse 14. He says, the sower sows the word. Did you see that? So how did Jesus arrive at this conclusion? What we just taught. Are you following me? The sower sowed the word. Not money, the word. Hallelujah. What is the word? When you use that word, there is in the Greek, logon, logos. It implies a thought plan that precedes an action, and it is the subject matter. That word logon is used for a subject matter. Is used for a subject matter, a major thing. Is used for a major thing. Hallelujah, a major thing. So when he says it sows the word, it shows that seed. The seed is a major theme of the scriptures. Hallelujah. The word is hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word logos is used for a body of truth. Body of truth. Used for a message. So the message in the lips of the prophets, the message of the scriptures is the seed.
your son, Christ, his accomplishment. Hallelujah. His accomplishment, his authority, his kingdom, his reign, his rule. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Jesus said is that the seed is the message of the prophet in the scriptures. What was sown is the word, not money. Hallelujah. Not money. So we'll continue from here next week. Hallelujah. Continue from here next week and we'll explore more concerning the seed. And we'll begin to look at the different grounds. The different grounds where the seed are. So what does the ground mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does those grounds, what do they imply? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we still have more 3 weeks to go. Glory to God. Have you learned something today? Just be on your feet. Let's thank you.